Amen. Amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence, for changing the showbread as you do each and every Sabbath. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness, so that when that latter rain falls, we will be ready. Thank you also for opening our eyes to our own weaknesses and how to steer clear of certain areas so as to be stronger. And thank you for the smiles during the trials that you give us. Please bless and continue to bless everybody on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. We have so many that we're caring for and praying for. And thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak, so that during these church services, so that you and you alone are going to be glorified and not us. And thank you for even answering our prayers there in regards to helping us do this work and continue to do this work without even asking mankind for a single thing. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your precious Son, who is our King for all eternity, our High Priest, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. I'll have to read that PM later. It's kind of long, Brother Sean, so can't really read it now. All right, so part six, Antichrist. Pope is Antichrist, part six. All right, and this one I'm going to start off with. I'm going to just do two this week because it goes into a little bit of detail. I might even end early because if I try to start the third topic, it'll still be hours into it, well over an hour. And but this one here is going to be about how the Antichrist is going to preach another Jesus unto all. And let me put the notes in the room here real quick. So the first one there is from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. For those of you listening on the in the chat room here on the church server, scroll underneath the chat room. You know where the notes are at. So 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4 says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." I love the way he put that. This isn't rocket science, in other words, in today's world. The simplicity of Christ. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him." In other words, all the work that we've been doing like Paul is saying here, all this work that we've been doing with you, I fear that some will corrupt you. A good way of looking at this is the way the Catholic Church works. With the way, like when Jesus would preach and explain a Bible verse, he'd give another Bible verse to explain it. When a Jesuit explains a Bible verse, they'll give you a four-volume set. Because they're going to make it into rocket science so that you have to rely on them. That was the thing that kept them through the Dark Ages, as if they were gods on earth to the people during those times in the Inquisition and all that, because no one understood the Bible because they said you can't. So, is this Jesus of Rome today, or any other church for that matter, but because there's a lot of churches out there that have the spirit of Antichrist, that includes the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Because they're certainly preaching another Jesus when they say Allah is God, homosexual marriage is okay, it's okay to have women pastors and stuff like that. But I'm not going to get into that now because we're exposing the whore of Babylon, the main one. The mother of harlots has a lot of daughters now. Every church on earth outside the remnant church, just as the prophecy said. And if people have a problem with that, well, then they got a problem with the Bible. Nothing we could do about that. So is the Jesus of Rome the Jesus of the Bible? Now, what I'm about to share is not a complete list of the Vatican's strange dogma on this, but it is something long. It's somewhat long that I'm going to share here. And I do it this way so as to make a point in regards to how much of a mountain of lies the prelates of Rome have built, or how high. And they did this so as to overwhelm the people with so many lies that it would be hard. Each person in the pew really difficult to get out of that church. I mean, case in point, when my wife and I left the Catholic Church in the mid-1980s, it literally took us all of 10 years to unlearn Catholicism, so that we would finally be able to understand God's law and how it is still valid in the lives of his obedient people. That's why I have such an issue with, these pagan holidays like Christmas and Easter and all this other stuff. And yes, it does bear. It is very important to discuss this stuff, because if a Christian claims to be a Christian and he does what it says in Deuteronomy not to do, like the Lord specifically taught, it's right there on the top of my Christmas Exposed page, as a matter of fact, right? I talk about this. I can't remember exactly which passage it is, so I'm going to go there real quick. Let's see, warning, holidays, Christmas, holidays, and then Christmas. All right. Deuteronomy 12, verses 29 to 32. It says, "When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them." He's talking to the people of God at this time, right? "And thou succeedest them," you win in the wars, "and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee." Because that's why they were destroyed. So why are you going to follow their rituals if you just found out they were destroyed for this stuff, right? Going on, it says, "Thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination of the Lord, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods? For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire of their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. And that's why I always had such an issue with Christmas and all this other garbage out there. I mean, I don't want to dwell here, but notice this compilation of the teachings of Rome, as I knew it to be the norm as a devout Roman Catholic for 29 years. If Joseph doesn't stop in the stream, just gag him. Please. I mean, this is one of the reasons I don't like the stream, because that you can't turn it. Well, you can turn the text chat off on the stream, but then people won't come in if they can't, you know, come in and talk. Amen. Yeah, leave all the comments till after the service, because you're purposely distracting those that need to hear this truth. So, notice this compilation of the teachings that I thought were true when I was a Roman Catholic. The prophecy here says they will teach another Jesus. And so with that said, what I'm about to share, does this sound like they preach the Jesus of the Bible? Seriously, it's just like with any other church. Does this sound like a Christian church? I mean, it's truly that easy to see this prophecy fulfilled on this one. All one's need to do is open up a Bible, then open up a Roman Catholic catechism book, and the truth will become obvious. And by the way, I have all of this documented as actual Vatican dogma on many pages on the website. I don't have them documented on the Characteristics of Antichrist page because it's mostly geared for Roman Catholics who know all about this stuff. And so there's no reason to say, hey, look, this is proof. I can prove that's how they teach. They know that's how they teach. They're in that church. So, do they preach Jesus when they glorify Mary as co-redeemer, co-redemptrix, co-savior? Literally. I think it was John Paul II that really pushed that one. Do they preach Jesus when their priestly ambassadors of Jesus Christ are drunks, smokers, child molesters, thieves, and murderers? All of it documented. Do they preach Jesus while killing and then admitting to killing 500 million Christians during the Dark Ages and their Inquisition? How is that Christianity? Do they preach Jesus when they declare in their Jesuit oath that lying is acceptable as long as the church benefits by the lie? When the Bible says in the book of Revelation that all liars go to hell, they won't be in the city. Do they preach Jesus while placing tradition of men over and above the scripture as the norm for Christianity? Do they preach Jesus when they teach millions that people are going to be in fire in a place called purgatory instead of salvation in Jesus, when there is no such thing in the Bible at all? And how does that look like a loving Jesus when they're screaming at the top of their lungs for millions and millions and millions of years in a place called purgatory? I got a video about that, by the way. Do they preach Jesus when teaching you must physically suffer to be saved, making the cross of Christ insufficient? You know, like so-called Saint Therese, who wore barbed wire around her gut up until the day she died, and she died young. She wore barbed wire around her gut. Why? Well, so every time she took a breath, she'd get pierced for Jesus. Or John F. Kennedy, President John F. Kennedy, wore a camel hair shirt underneath his clothing sometimes when he was out there doing the work as a president. Why? Because it makes you itch all over, like really bad, for Jesus. Or why did the Muslims and the Catholics whip themselves bloody certain times of the year? Like the Muslims do it at the beginning or the ending of Ramadan. I don't know exactly when they do it. But and the Catholic Church says, oh, we don't condone it. But yet every single year for, what, 7, 8 centuries or something like that, these, especially in Mexico and in the Philippines, these Catholics not only whip themselves bloody in the crowds, they let themselves be crucified on crosses with fake nails. I mean, the nails still go through their hand. It's a needle, a surgical needle, alcohol, everything is put on there, and they nail their hand right through into the wood. And then have this gigantic nail resting on top, that fake skinny little nail that went through them. How is that Christianity? How's that going to take away anybody's sins? That makes the cross of Christ insufficient because now you're doing it for us. Do they preach Jesus while going to a man for forgiveness in a confessional instead of the God of heaven that they actually sinned against? Do they preach Jesus when their popes say evolution is scientific fact, making Jesus Christ a liar? The last three popes said it on camera, or not on camera, in writing. Do they preach Jesus, or actually the last four popes, I'm sorry, because I think Francis did it too. Do they preach Jesus when they teach gambling is an acceptable Christ-like activity in their bingo halls and Las Vegas night carnivals? Do they preach Jesus when the Pope praises and embraces Buddhism, atheism, and Islam as brothers in the faith on a global television network? Global, not just your neighborhood one. Do they preach Jesus when they preach on Eternal Word Television Network? That's EWTN TV. That's a Roman Catholic television show, kind of like the SDA 3ABN thing, only it's Catholic. They said on camera, fellow believers stoned Stephen. Unbelievable. And people believe this because they don't read their Bibles. Do they preach Jesus when the Pope preaches mankind protects you much better than God can? And he says this, by the way, he drives around in a bulletproof Pope mobile. So mankind will protect him more than God can. Do they preach Jesus when the Pope preaches you must be loyal to him to be saved? Do they preach Jesus when they teach you you must bow down to the Pope and kiss his foot, and in the modern times, kiss his ring? And for those of you that never knew that, they used to always kiss the foot of the Pope, bow down all the way in front of him, and then kiss his foot. There's a statue. It's actually the statue of Jupiter, a pagan god. In the Vatican, they changed his name to Saint Peter, and it's a bronze statue, and they got the statue up on a platform, so it's about 4 feet off the ground, so every person can walk by and kiss the foot of Peter as he puts it forward, because the foot is put forward. And it's a brass statue, and you got all the features of the fingernails, wrinkles, everything, right? But if you notice, the 2 feet look different. Because the one foot that's pointing out to where you can reach it and kiss it, the other one's close to the chair he's sitting on, all the features of the toes, the wrinkles, the toenails, all of it's gone. It's just slits now because of the sledgehammer lips of humans that kissed it. Seriously. Lips of humans aren't sledgehammers. It shows you how many billions of people had to have kissed those brass. It's one of the hardest metals out there. Lips kissed so many times, it wore away the brass. This has been going on for centuries. Eons, in fact, because this was a pagan god before. This was probably a statue that they had in Roman days when it was pagan Rome. Now it's papal Rome, which is really no difference because Caesar wanted to be a god on earth just like the Pope. That's why it's Pontificus Maximus. That's what that more or less comes for. That's what that title they embrace. So again, do they preach Jesus while killing millions of Christians for merely reading a Bible during the Inquisition? Do they preach Jesus when they ignore Jesus' example and baptize babies, just like the pagans do, and remove Bible verses that say you shouldn't do that? Do they preach Jesus when they put his Bible in the list of forbidden books back in 1229 AD in the Council of Valencia? And it's still on that list to this day. Do they preach Jesus when they venerate and even worship crosses, statues, images, and relics? And relics, by the way, I used to have one when I was a Catholic. I wore the scapulars and all that other stuff, too, and the little idol cross, the crucifix on my finger, a crucifix ring and all that. But you have enough money, you can buy bones of John the Baptist. A little tiny chip of a bone, and they'll say it's John the Baptist's bone when it could have been some dead cat down the road and you just got ripped for $20 or something, You don't know what it is. But those are relics. They call them, it's a relic from, a saint of old. Do they preach Jesus when they sell indulgences for money? so that you can get some time off in purgatory, a place that doesn't exist. That's actually what built the Vatican, when John Tetzel went out there and started asking for the money. That's how they got the money. Do they preach Jesus when they preach you must worship a wafer as they parade it before the people? And if you don't, that's why quite a few millions of people died. Not just because they refused to put down their Bibles or denounce Christ. They also said, no, that cookie or that wafer or that host or whatever you want to call it is not Jesus, but they say it is. They say it's him incarnate. Do they preach Jesus when they preach a cloth or a scapular will save you from hellfire instead of Jesus saving you from hellfire? Remember when John Paul II got shot? He specifically told the doctors, and this has all been documented, don't cut off my scapular when I go under, you know, for the knife to get the bullet out of him. He says, because if I die on the table, I want to make sure I go to heaven. In other words, Jesus doesn't save him. That little piece of cloth that Simon Stock received from a demon calling itself Mary one day when he was in vision. Well, probably a hallucination. And do they preach Jesus when they put the books, they put books in the Bible that have pagan theology that Jesus nor the apostles ever quoted or used? That's called the Apocrypha. Do they preach Jesus when they say Mary was utterly without sin at her birth and then at the birth of Christ? Immaculate conception. Well, the Bible says there are none holy, no, not one. Jesus is the only one that was sinless, but they say Mary was. That's why she's co-redeemer now. Sad but true. Keep them in your prayers. Do they preach Jesus when they call the Pope infallible and the Word of God fallible? In other words, when speaking on ecclesiastical terms, the Pope's statements are infallible, without mistake, without error, even though there's a bunch of popes that have contradicted each other throughout the centuries. But the Word of God, you can't trust it 100%. And they won't tell you what verses. They just recently did that about 10 years ago, put out another statement as you can't trust the Bible 100%. Well, where? They won't show you that because then real Christians will come forth as well. You took this out of context. Do they preach Jesus when the Pope himself states to all the world that he is God on earth? And I've got more than a few quotes on that. In writing, they made those statements. Do they preach Jesus when the Pope proclaims that the church itself is a must for salvation? Not just trusting him, but you got to be in the Roman Catholic Church. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church is preaching that now as well. You have to stay with the church or you're going to hell. And I got a video all about that too. Documented from actual Catholic and Seventh-day Adventist archives. All right, so going on, do they preach Jesus when they make war with the saints of Jesus, as prophecy said they would for literally 1,260 years? Do they preach Jesus when they slowly torture the followers of Christ to death? And some of them would even perfect torture to the point where you're almost about to die and they stop the torture and let you recoup for a day or two so they can start the torture up again. That's Christianity? That's demonic. That's demon-possessed people doing that. Do they preach Jesus when they destroy entire nations so as to force their leaders to bow to the Pope? That's why you have war. Modern-day war is all because they refuse to bow to the Pope. That's why these men get replaced or their nations go down. Do they preach Jesus when they declare Pope John Paul II, a man guilty of Nazi war crimes, is now a saint and literally worthy of worship? They've got statues, and I've got pictures of these statues where people are kneeling in front of the statue of John Paul II in prayer to the statue. And do they preach Jesus when they abolish the Sabbath that Jesus kept and sanctified and then replace it with a pagan day of the sun? Now, the Convert's Catechism of Catholic Doctrine is 112 pages long. And this is where the catechism is more or less a Latin term meaning this is what we believe, kind of a thing, like a statement of faith. I used to teach from this thing, and it was written by Peter Geierman. Well, this particular one that I was... Buzzing? Is a fan bad? Are you still in? We'll mess with it. All right. My wife probably, she fell out. There's something wrong with the other computer. It looks like it sounds like it's dying. So Turn it off, Fran, just to save it, you know, because it might be the motherboard fan, the CPU fan. So, but anyway, like getting back, Peter Geierman, with this alphabet soup after his name, CSSR stuff, I can't remember exactly what all that means. He put this book forward in 1946. It was published in St. Louis, Missouri. And the only reason I noticed is, like I said, I taught from here. But from this book, when I was Roman Catholic, I taught Catholic doctrine. And were you aware that out of the 448 questions in this book of Catholic doctrine, that there are actually 776 answers due to the fact that many of the questions had multiple answers? Some had as many as 17 answers to a single question. Out of all these questions regarding Catholic doctrine, and I kid you not, because I went cover to cover on this 34 years ago, right after I left the Catholic Church, there were, out of the 776 answers, only 56 Bible verses were used to explain their doctrines. And more than 75% of those Bible verses were taken completely out of context. But let's give the Vatican the benefit of the doubt and assume that all 56 Bible verses were in context, just for the sake of illustration, to show you that that would mean 56 Bible verses used for 776 questions or answers equates to 13.8% of the questions having Bible verses given to explain or confirm them. 13.8. That means a whopping 86.2% of the answers they gave were never found in Scripture or even mentioned. It's a pagan church. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This single verse alone proves the Roman Catholic Church is not designed to be a Christian church that follows Jesus Christ. Historic fact is, the gates of hell have prevailed against this church from the beginning and will do so all the way up until its soon demise. They're going to burn because of the strange fire. It's prophesied they shall burn. I mean, I ask, if this church that they claim was built on the faith of Peter is Roman Catholicism, then they also proclaim Jesus Christ a liar. For even the Pope himself admitted in his mea culpa on March 12, 2000, that's Pope John Paul II, who they call a saint now because of his, and I believe they call him a saint because of what he wrote called the Dies Domini in 1998. And the Dies Domini, who cares about all of what it says? Just go to the one section he says you should fight for the civil authorities to enforce Sunday laws. That's why he wrote it, and that's why they made him into a saint, so that they can literally say a saint from heaven is agreeing that we should keep Sunday holy. But he said on March 12, 2000, in his mea culpa, which in Latin just means please forgive us kind of a thing, he said that the gates of hell did in fact prevail against his church when he outlined their atrocity. So who's lying here? Their saint or them? Well, both. So, but, and he says their atrocities are so much, that over 500 million Christians were burned at the stake, drawn and quartered, and drawing and quartered, that's like when they would put a rope on your each hand and each foot, and then have four huge horses just rip you apart. And then you literally have no arms and legs. That's exactly what they do in abortion clinics to children. This stuff hasn't changed. Right before Jesus came the first time, they were killing all the babies. Rome was killing all the babies. Right before Jesus gets back, they're killing all the babies again. And they would bury people alive. They would boil them in oil. They would skin them alive in front of their children. There's in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, I don't suggest reading, it's not easy to read. I remember this one dad, the father of children, they tied a bucket to his chest and made him hold the bucket while a Roman Catholic priest took a pair of pliers and pulled strips of skin off his head and his face and dropped it in the bucket he was holding in front of his wife and kids until he died. That's Christian, according to them. And I mean, there's so many other atrocities. I mean, look at what the Muslims and how they kill people today. Some of the things that they're doing, some of the torturous methods. They all got that from the popes. Same stuff. Same demons. So keep in mind, this evil spirit is the same one that moved the Pharisees to have Jesus tortured and killed by Rome and a church and state agreement in their day too. I mean, is this what Jesus would have Christians do to those that don't embrace his word? I mean, even a babe in Christ can easily proclaim, no, Jesus would never do as Rome does. Now, this next thing, I'm going to close with this, but this is probably going to take me all of 10 minutes to get through, maybe 15. Antichrist controls a man, well, Satan is going to control a man whose name will add to 666. The ultimate Antichrist is Satan. We all know that. So Revelation 13, verse 17 and 18 says this. No man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And we know technology today means they can enforce the mark right now. They can literally turn off all your means to cash. You can't buy and sell anything with a flick of a switch now. Back in the 70s, it would take 72 to who knows how many hours to shut off your checking account. Now, boink, hit a switch, your cards, everything, your debit card, everything's off. So it goes on to say that here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So many people think that 666 is the mark, and it says right there, it's a number of a man. I mean, Revelation gives us a clue as to how to calculate the number of the beast as well. I mean, it reveals that his name will also equal this number. 666, right? The name that I'm about to share with you is the official title of the Pope. In fact, he has many titles, and they all expose him as Antichrist, and the man of sin, and the son of perdition, and the beast system, the whole nine yards, right? But the main one most researchers have found and shared over the years was the title Vicarius Filii Dei. I will show how this all works out to 666 in a minute. But for many, and I mean many years, most Catholics I shared this title with said that the first title I ever shared was bogus because, as you probably guessed it, their priests told them it never existed. I used to be Catholic, and I did see that. This is what ticks me off about myself. I did see the name inscribed upon the mitre of the Pope in what appeared to be jewels or diamonds many, many, many years ago in a picture, though I didn't actually see the thing physical, but it was in a photograph that was circulated at the Catholic bookstores where I would get my crucifix rings and scapulars and rosaries and stuff like that. So, but the problem is I never made note as to where I saw that back then. So for years, it was my word against theirs. However, recently, the Lord has blessed me, this is about 10 years ago, with an actual copy of the Catholic Weekly of April 18, 1915, wherein are found the following words. Check this out. The letters inscribed in the Pope's mitre are these, Vicarius Filii Dei, which is the Latin for the vicar, and the word vicar in English means replacement, the vicar of the Son of God. Catholics hold that the Church, which is a visible society, must have a visible head. Christ, before his ascension into heaven, appointed St. Peter to act as his representative. Hence, the Bishop of Rome, as head of the Church, was given the title Vicar of Christ. And let me scroll up, I think, here in the... where did I put... Do I have that in... Oh, I thought I put it in the room here. I didn't put... Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was in there. All right. And then this actually came from our Sunday Visitor, which it's a Catholic weekly that they used to put out. And Bureau of Information, Huntington, Indiana, April 18th, 1915. And I actually have a link to, here, I'll put this. Oh, I can't. The link's local only. I have a link, which is an actual scan of the facsimile, in other words, I have the actual picture of it, and so, which really helped. I think I got it from Michael Scheifler, and then I have another discovery that I put in here, and it has to do with page 343 of an actual Vatican document that, in Latin, it says "Deus dedit cardinalis" or whatever, "collectio canomium" or whatever that is. And they also use the term Vicarius Filii Dei. For decades, they have lied about this title. after the truth about the 666 came out. You know, around the time the Seventh-day Adventists were doing their work, when they had prophetic utterance. And then I've got the entire book digitized online on my site. And but Latin, you know, to read this one here, this is from the book titled Against Heresies by Irenaeus. It's book 5, chapter 30, paragraph 3 in so-called Saint Irenaeus's biography online at the Advent New, or at the New Advent Catholic Supersite. And so that's definitely Catholic. So anyway, they said that Latin is the official language of the Roman Catholic Church. Church documents are usually published first in Latin and then translated from Latin into other languages. The association of Latinus or Latianus with 666 was first suggested by Irenaeus in 130 to 202 AD, who proposed in his Against Heresies that it might be the name of the fourth kingdom in Daniel 7, verse 7. It is very probable. It is a very probable solution, this being the name of the last kingdom of the four seen by Daniel. For the Latins are they who are present, bear rule. And then they give you the source, like I just did. But since this evidence came forth regarding the title Vicarius Filii Dei and its obvious connection to the 666 calculation of Revelation, which I'm going to get to in a minute, the Roman Catholic Church has opted to teach its followers to declare this title bogus. They have even gone to great lengths seeking to do just that so as to remove the overwhelming evidence against them. Vicarius Filii Dei is cited by the rector of Berlin, Andreas Hellwig, or Hellwich, however you want to say his name, but he was from 1572 to 1643 AD. In his book Antichristus Romanus, he stated it as well. You also might want to look at the actual facsimile from way back on November 15th, 1914, in the edition of the Catholic publication, which is another one that it's not the same one. It's a second one about the Our Sunday Visitor. And not only does the publication show the title Vicarius Filii Dei, and you can zoom in at the picture because I made it big. You just zoom in and you'll see the title in there. The priest that wrote it said it is considered a valid title as they do not refute that, but he does try to explain why it is a trivial matter that it equals 666. This is happenstance. And I've even seen some of them, and I don't mention this, I'm not going to be mentioning this on the site, although I do mention it in other areas. I remember when I was a teenager, they used to say, oh, it's 616. It's not 666. They're saying it means 616 because they're caught. It's just like with the preachers of the 501c3 today. They're caught, hand in the cookie jar. All they could do now is lie, and so they said now no, it's not 666. Bible doesn't say 666. It says it's 616, and so they can do what they want. And the Roman Catholic author, Jesuit priest Malachi Martin, he wrote the book Keys of This Blood. In that book, on page 114 and 122, he uses that exact same title. But yet they keep saying it's bogus. And one more note of interest. Why is it, I ask, that when you go to the archives of Our Sunday Visitor online, that this particular edition that I have posted on my website with the facsimile and the pictures and all of it, why is it oh so difficult to get a copy of page 3 of November 15, 1914? Well, it's going to become very obvious in a moment. They don't want you to see it. So what I have to share now is a collection of titles of the Office of Pope. This list can also be found at on my Pope and 666 page in the Catholicism Exposed section of the menu. I also did two videos on this as well. And all these videos and stuff and all this stuff, I'm kind of going forward here. It's all here in the box number 7 in the notes. But the unique thing about the Latin language is that its alphabet serves a dual purpose for them. And that's why Rome still holds it today and declared all their documents are done in Latin first. It's not only used to spell out their words, it's also used as their numeric system. Christian prophecy is that accurate. Is this amazing? I mean, for example, the letter I in Latin equals the number 1. The letter V equals the number 5. The letter C. How many of you had your dad say, hey, here's a C note for you, boy? It's $100 bill. So the letter C is 100, and so on. And we all know what Roman numerals are, right? We've all heard the term. We've all seen a clock. I got a clock in my office right now, Roman numerals. It's not as accurate as they should be. Instead of having the I with the V and the V, you know, they do the three. It's goofy, but anyway. All they need to do is spell the title of the office of Pope, any given title, and you'll see the prophecy fulfilled, because all you got to do is add it up. And when they use letters and stuff like that that don't have numeric value, you just put a zero. You don't fake it like the Catholics are trying to do with the name Ellen G. White. They use two V's for the W to try to come up with 666. But the V is 5. And there is no W in Roman numerals. They'll do it. Or Microsoft Windows, too, you know. Or Ronald Reagan. They try to, you know, they say, oh, look, 666 here. Yeah, well, that's one prophecy in what, 300? All the prophecies have to fulfill. That's why this series is going to be long, about the prophecies about Antichrist. I'm not just going to share one or two. I'm going to share 26 of them, my favorite. There's hundreds. But, yeah, amen, Sova. Hidden in plain sight. So, Vicarius Filii Dei. I'm not going to put it in the room because I don't know who would put it in the stream. But it's V-I-C-A-R-I-V-S for Vicarius. And then F-I-L-I-I for Filii. And then Dei is D-E-I. Or some people go D-I, but it's Dei. All right, so V equals 5, I equals 1, C equals 100, A and R, 0. There's no values for those. I equals 1, V again is 5, S again is 0. Although in some ancient manuscripts of the pagans, the S is the number 6. And this is why you'll see three waves with the Seventh-day Adventist in their new logo. Or three waves at the Ark Encounter in Kentucky, the Noah's Ark Encounter, those three waves. A wave equals 6. They got to put the logo somewhere. They got to put the 666 somewhere as an acknowledgement of the Pope. Especially like the Noah's Ark thing. They were going belly up. They couldn't finish the job. There was too many laws and regulations being put forth because it was going to be done in a Christian way. And then they were approached. And then, of course, they built it, but they used, government money, and they had to agree with the Pope, and that's the only reason it's out. And some of our church family found out the hard way, you know, but they went there. And, it was pretty obvious. It was demonic. There's a lot of stuff in there. You would not believe that they claim to be Christian, and it's really, really bad. So, but anyway, Vicarius Filii Dei, if you add it all up, it's 666. Oh, well, let me finish the Filii. It's F is 0, I is 1, L is 50, I for the last two I's, 1 each. And then Dei is D-E-I, D equals 500, E is 0, of course, and then I is 1. So add them all up, 666. The next name. Now, this next section, I got this from Mike Scheifler years ago. I met him when I first got online many, 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 many years ago. And he's got some pretty good information. I don't know if he's still in the SDA Church, but he seems to have pretty good research. This is something I got from his website, and this is what it says. He says, I have recently received what seems to be a reliable information that a photo may exist of the papal funeral in St. Peter's Basilica near the beginning of the 20th century in which the tiara inscribed with the Vicarius Filii Dei can be seen, which, by the way, we've already gotten an actual picture of it now, and I've used it in videos, combined with above claims of our Sunday visitor, with the 1914 thing and the 1903 thing with those facsimiles where they actually use the title. And he goes on to say that previous popes probably wore the tiara in question. If anyone can turn up this photo and make it available to me, I'll post it in this article. I think they did. Because this is old, what I got from his site. So, but going on, it says, eyewitness testimony claims that Pope Gregory the 16th, 1831 to 1846, wore the inscribed tiara during the Easter Mass of 1845, a year before he died. And that the word Vicarius was on the top of the crown, filii, on the middle, and Dei on the lower crown. And the words spelled out with jewels. So that I saw with my own eyeballs in the photograph, though. And I got that from a Catholic bookstore, and I was 20, maybe 18, so I don't know. So, but Vicarius Filii Dei is not the only title they have for the office of Pope. And using the tool of Gematria, you could also, like, I'm going to use Greek as well in here. But there's another title of the office of Pope. It's called Dux Clerii, which means in English, captain of the clergy. Dux is D-V-X, and Clerii is C-L-E-R-I. Well, the D obviously is 500, and the C is 100 going on from there, but it equals 666. Ludovicus, which is vicar of the court. Add that up, spell it, add it up, 666. And then Greek for I Protera, which means 10th or first of the two, that equals 666. Latinius, which is English for the Latin-speaking man, that equals 666. And let's see, what are they? Okay, I just repeated the stuff that I have here up above. But and then he, Latin Basilia, which is the Latin kingdom in Greek. Add that up, it's 666. Italica Ecclesia, that's Italian church in Greek. That equals 666. And then now in Hebrew. Now, there's a reason I use these three languages. I'll explain that in a minute. The numeric equivalents of Hebrew letters can be found in the Encyclopedia Britannica under Languages of the World in Table 50. So it's easy. If you spell, using Hebrew, Romith, which is R-O-M-I-I-T-H, and the T-H is one letter back then in the way the Hebrews did it. It's not T and then an H. It's a T-H mixed together kind of a thing. Like a W is like two V's. Kind of a thing, but it's not really because there's no W in Roman numerals. That equals 666, or Romiti. Oh, actually, Romith means Roman kingdom, and Romiti means Roman man in Hebrew, 666. And then Sancta Lux Dei, Dei is holy light of God. Latin is Sancta, you know, that's 666. And if you remove, by the way, if you remove all the letters that do not have numeric value, you are left with Sante, which is S-A-N-T-A-E. Now listen to this. Hope you're listening here. S-A-N-T-A-E. Just use those letters in this title of Sancta Lux Dei, because there's a lot of zeros here. There's no T or A or E in Roman numerals, or N, or, you know, stuff like that. Or, yeah, Sante. If you slide the N to the right, two spaces, you come up with the name Santa. But you leave the E there. The word Satane, S-A-T-A-N-E, is the exact way to spell Satan, in Latin. So that's, and then Rex Latinus Secordus is King of the Roman Priests. That's Latin for, you know, King of the Roman Priests. That equals 666. Now, what I'm about to share here is something I'm sure is going to amaze some of you, is what I discovered about the name John Paul II. And I just came across this when he was alive. He was the first pope in history to actually fulfill this prophecy twice about the 666. Regardless of all the titles of the office of pope, the given name, because his name really wasn't John Paul II. His name was Karol Wojtyła, right? He's a Polish man. But they gave him the title Pope John Paul II. And in Latin, it's Ioannis Paulus Secundo. That's John Paul II in Latin. I kid you not. That also equals 666. All right. And one more, by the way, here. And this is from Greek. There is one more name that equals 666 that needs to be mentioned here, as it shows a bold and obvious connection to Satan, as well as loyalty to him by all the popes. Because as I showed in a few videos and a page on my website, they are actual devil worshippers with power. And a devil worshipper with power is going to do everything he can to destroy Christianity. And the best way to do that is just like with a spy that from Russia comes into America. He's going to act like an American, right? Well, a satanic, a devil worshipper with power is going to act like a Christian to infiltrate the Christian church. The name Titan in Greek is the word Satan, and that equals 666. And so they've They're just carrying the name of their father. Their father is the father of lies. And so the number of his name, it says, count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. It's not the mark. The mark is what he declares as his mark. And twice in writing he has said his mark is Sunday. Because he changed the Sabbath, just like the prophet Daniel said he would. He'll think to change times and laws. And so he changed the Sabbath to Sunday. And he said that's his mark of ecclesiastical authority. And his mark, as he even says, is, makes him above the Bible, because all the world wanders after this beast, and they keep Sunday holy, claiming to be Christians, when there's not a single Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation to back it up. And so all the Sunday keepers out there don't even realize they're bowing to the mark of the beast, but they have not received it yet, but soon it'll become law, because the 501c3 was prophesied. All the churches have to become a church and state, just like the Vatican. They have to be an image to that church, the Vatican. And the only way to get a 501c3 is to join your church with your state. And then as of 2 years ago, Trump made it law that if you have a 501c3, you're not only considered a government agent, as George Bush said, or George W. Bush said, you have the ability to lobby religious laws. We're that close. Amen. Thank you, SDR Asia. Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible. And this transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. And that's from the Catholic Record of London, Ontario, September 1, 1923. 7 years, or no, 6 years before they got their power back and the wound started to heal. And Titan is Satan in Greek, which also equals 666, by the way. Romanism is pagan idolatry. Nice name. So, anyway, we are that close. And so all the Sunday-keeping churches out there, and this is why the Seventh-day Adventist Church has dozens and dozens of Sunday-keeping churches. They're getting their people ready. And this is why the General Conference, and they made a video about this, and in writing they said, when someone asked them, is it okay for Sunday, for SDAs to keep Sunday holy? And they go, yeah, no big deal. Why did he say that? Because of what Constantine did on March 7, 321 AD, which was March 7, 2006, when George W. Bush made the 501c3 an executive order, which Trump later made law. So they use the same dates over and over again. It's just like with June 26, starting of the United Nations, United Religions, and homosexual marriage in America. They always use, they have these big blockbuster things that they do on specific dates. And so when Constantine did it, with the infant bishop of Rome, if you will, because they didn't have the Vatican yet, because Tetzel wasn't out there throwing the money around, because he did that during Luther's day. They, when they pushed out the Sunday law, the way they pushed out the Sunday laws in 321 AD, which also proves they're all lying when they said Christians kept Sunday holy when Jesus resurrected. No, there's not a single Bible verse that backed that up either. There's historic record proving, number one, Christians still kept Sabbath holy since day one, and I've got a page on the website that shows them all keeping it holy in all these centuries. Jesus said that something was going to happen 40 years after he ascends, and he says, you guys got to pray that you don't have this happen on Sabbath day. He was telling them they're still going to be keeping Sabbath. And they didn't have Sunday laws until 321, which is almost 300 years after Jesus ascended. But how did he do it? The Catholic Church says, well, we'll start keeping Sunday holy so as to bring the pagans into the church to show them the truth about Sabbath. That was the excuse the General Conference gave for the first time they opened up a Sunday-keeping church. Exact same excuse. We'll bring the Sunday-keepers in by having a Sunday-keeping church so as to show them the truth of God's law and eventually move them towards keeping Sabbath. But they started that decades ago, and they're still keeping Sunday holy. Just like the Jews are doing it now, too. People used to think, oh, there's no way that the Jews would ever keep Sunday holy. But they have been keeping Sunday holy for years now. And made it law last year that you can break Sabbath in Tel Aviv. Why? Because the Pope went for the jugular vein. He knew if we can get them to keep Sunday holy, well, then we can easily get them to break God's law. That's what's going to happen during the buy and sell thing. And then the guillotines that come rolling out. They're going to use the exact same thing. The buy and sell, economic sanctions. Guillotine, death penalty. So, Anyway, I hope and pray you were blessed. I went a little bit off topic there towards the end. And so whoever's going to do the music, please put your hand up, and I'll drop the mic here. Amen. 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 If you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for blessing us with your presence as we gather here on Sabbath day each week. Thank you so much for your word and giving us a deep desire in our hearts. Father, we need this to grow stronger and stronger. We need more courage, more wisdom, more discernment, more love for each other, more meekness and gentleness of Christ, and a forgiving heart. We need to be able to go forth and be trusted by you with the latter rain. We can't have any unconfessed sins on us, and we know, Father, so reveal anything that we haven't confessed, and thank you for helping us to stop it so that we can receive the rain and go forth and glorify you and get home that much sooner. Please bless everyone that's in attendance today in ways that they never expected. Bless everyone on our prayer list and all those that were mentioned in the children's study and the adult study with the prayer requests. And thank you so much for loving us first and teaching us how to love you back. And please bless this week ahead of us in a way that brings us all together again on next Sabbath. And we offer this prayer, as we always do, to the best of our ability. It always falls far short of the name we pray in. That name is your Son, our Savior, and our King for all eternity, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.